Well, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. I am convinced that one of the main reasons so many people are perishing today is a lack of vision on our part. And you've seen the statistics, it's been on the news. Every major church denomination is receding and not increasing. It used to be a couple of years ago, 70% of Americans went to church. It's less than 50% now. That's a huge drop. Over 20% of the people in the United States, when they used to go to church, they are no longer going. I really believe that if we had a vision of the right things, fewer people would perish. That's what that verse says. Let me just ask you this. Would you like fewer people to perish in your family? Every family's the same, just different names. Every family represented here this evening has someone in that family that's not saved. Would you like fewer people in your family to perish? If so, we need a vision. And I have some thoughts about that. First of all, we need a vision of lost souls. It might sound redundant and unnecessary, but it begins here. We need to view the world through God's eyes. Paul had that vision. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. In verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Paul was very busy in the Lord's work when he saw this vision. Don't expect God to give you a vision for lost souls if you're not busy doing His will now. It's not going to happen. You need to be busy doing the Lord's work and then praying that God would give you a vision of lost souls and that your heart would be His heart. When David Brainerd saw the American Indian, he knelt in the snow of New England and he prayed until the snow melted around him. He was sick unto death when some Indians came to him and said, "Tell us about your God." He took a candle and he said to them, "I'll preach until the light goes out." He died preaching that night. The light went out. When David Livingstone saw a lost black man, he saw a continent, Africa, and millions of souls in the balance. One time in his ministry to Africa, he was attacked by a lion. The rest of his life, his arm hung limp at his side, but he continued to preach and build churches so that the black people in Africa could be saved. When he died, they buried his heart in Africa. They took his body to Westminster Abbey and buried his body there, but they cut his heart out and buried it in Africa. The witness of Hudson Taylor and the Inland China Mission is going on today because one day Hudson Taylor saw a nation without God, the nation of China without God, and he started that. God help us if we ever get complacent about the souls of men. May God give us a vision of our city and our state and our nation and our world for whom Christ died. God, help us. Second of all, we need a vision of the judgment seat of Christ. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And Paul gives us several reasons in this chapter why we do what we do. Why do we work hard? Why do we labor? Look at verse 9. Paul says, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." So what does God want us to do? First of all, in verse 10, we need a vision of the judgment seat of Christ. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We need a vision of us standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Here's another reason why we labor, why we work hard. Look at verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we work, we labor. Let's go on. Look at verse 17. Here's another reason why we work hard. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's good incentive for us to continue to do the things that God has called us to do. We are a new creation. When we get saved, everything changes. Look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, where we go and we say, listen, you can be reconciled to a holy God if you will simply accept his payment for your sin by Jesus Christ on the cross. We are made ministers of reconciliation. And then verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We have been left here in the place of Christ. Christ is not walking this earth, but he has left us here to do his business. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I think about that and it just bothers me that we are doing so little for the cause of Christ. Third, we need a vision of the horrors of hell. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We'll not read this entire passage, we generally do, but let's pick it up in verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. We need a vision of the horrors of hell. The fact that hell is hot and eternity is long, and there's no hope, and there's no exit from that horrible place. There's going to be screaming and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and people will have their memory for all eternity. They will remember every opportunity they had to be saved, and they rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. What a horrible, horrible place hell is. Fourth, we need a vision of the church and its importance. God commissioned the church five times. The first time in the Gospel of Matthew. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. The first day of class when I was in Bible college, not only the first day, but the first class. In Bible college, the first class is PE. And you go, man, that's great. PE, you have recess, the first thing? Oh, no, no. In Bible college, PE is personal evangelism. It's not recess, okay? When they said PE, I thought, great. First thing off the bat. No. The first day, the first class, he said, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. And we read this over and over until we could quote it before the class was over. Let's begin reading in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, he is speaking to the church here, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible says this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke chapter 24, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In John chapter 20 and verse 21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Okay? Five times God said to the church, this is what I want you to do. And please understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And look at verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul is talking to this young man, Timothy, and he says, but if I tarry long, I want you to know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Paul said, when you go to the house of God, this is how I want you to behave yourself. He talks about the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. When we come to this place, ladies and gentlemen, this church is the pillar and ground of the church, of the truth, and we are to take the church very, very seriously. Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. And then last of all, we need a vision of Jesus. Joshua goes out to plan how to take Jericho. seen someone with a drawn sword in his hand, he asked that person, "Are you for us or our adversary?" The answer was this: "I am the captain of the Lord's hosts." And Joshua fell on his face. "What saith the Lord to his servant?" Joshua was ready to do whatever he told him to do. Many scholars believe that this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, the captain of the Lord's hosts. When Stephen was being stoned, he was broken, he was bleeding, he was crushed, but when he looked up and he saw Jesus, he said this: "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." I'll tell you what we need, folks. We need a vision of Jesus, how he loved us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great love that you have for us. Thank you, dear Jesus, for your willingness to go to the cross. Help us always to take very seriously when we come to your house and this church, this house, is the church of the living God. So, dear Father, thank you for allowing us to come and allowing us to worship, to ascribe worth to you, to sing the songs of Zion, to fellowship with your dear people. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.